Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Go.
Actually, no, John needs a stool, a one-legged stool, so that he can rest, but he can't.
His lips are moving.
I know how hard he works, that's the thing.
One, two, three.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
Yes. He works
were
hard.
Were any of you here not here last week?
Were any of you here not here last week?
Confused.
Were you?
I
had an extra handout.
Oh, because Candace was in that seat.
That's true. Candace was in that seat.
I got mine from yesterday. Thank you.
You got one. We're still debating that one.
The book.
All right.
But you got to be careful when you say the book.
Yeah.
The Lord German.
I found it. Who told me that? That the Bible, the Bible just means the book.
I told you that.
Yeah.
I thought it was someone beautiful.
Good save.
Must have come from her grandfather.
You just better watch the inflection.
Beautiful?
Isaac.
You know, Gutenberg wrote the Bible.
Uncle Isaac Closer.
Oh, guys have to hear this.
Okay, sorry.
Gutenberg,
not Gettysburg.
Wrote the Bible, like, with the printing press. It was the first book, like, that was written, like, a book. And it's kind of been called the mother of evolution or something like that. That it's the first book. And anyway, they call it the Bible because in Greek it's Biblia, and Biblia means books.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's the mother of the Industrial Revolution. Yeah.
Cool.
Tested on this.
Yes. Don't bother coming on Sunday if you can't repeat. No. All right. Who will pray for us?
I just thank you that we can just gather together and just that to know that you're here, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to just continue to make your presence known and to open our ears to hear what you have to say and our hearts to hear what you have to say. And Lord, just even on this special day that it is Yom Kippur, that you would make it especially understandable to us what's being taught. And Lord, I just once again just offer up my prayer to you that you would continue to have your way with us, and that people would see and know you and return to you. And Lord, even as we're studying tonight, that we would do the same. I just thank you, and I praise you for who you are, and I love you, Jesus, and thank you that we can have a relationship. Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm going to sneeze first.
Look at the
so unsatisfying.
I love that it is here.
That's to the right, though.
Okay. I hate when that happens.
Which way? To the right?
To the right. Look to the right and up. And if there's a light, look at it.
There's
no
light there.
I know. It's
where you are.
All the way around. Twice.
Jump on one leg.
I'll have to, but it's annoying.
Guaranteed.
All right, we're on page 111 then, and we're talking about deliverance and manifestations. And, just the last sentence there in the paragraph. These manifestations can range just like the demonization itself, from small and hardly recognizable to overt and dramatic, and they can occur mentally, emotionally, or physically, or a combination of all three. So the following are common types of demonic manifestations. And again, this is coming from years and years and years of experience and reading that Randy and Darla have been through, have gone through personally themselves, talked with others, probably read up on it. So, yeah. So this is just, again, we'll just go through them and we'll see that some of them are in the scriptures, some of them are not. But this is just, again, experiences. So for physical manifestations, the pupils of the eyes dilate. And the eyes really do tell a lot. Like, they truly do tell a lot. And just even as you're talking, as we talk with each other. So the eyes, the iris itself can change color. This is not as common. Just rapid blinking. Eye contact avoidance, eyes rolling in the back of the head, and only the whites are exposed. Eyes staring catatonically, unblinking, trance-like, shaking or jerking, choking, retching, vomiting, gagging, pain or involuntary movement in parts of the body, nausea, trembling, sweating, violence towards self or one ministering, the change in the timbre or tone of the voice, or complete voice change, male to a female, or child to adult, and so on and so forth, and uncharacteristic physical strength. And again, someone might say, for instance, be very skeptical about all of this, might say, well, I mean, rapid eye blinking, they might have something in their eye. And of course, yes, that someone who has rapid eye blinking, it doesn't, please, we don't want to automatically, you're like, ah, demonization, you know, kind of thing. Again, it goes back to, and with many of these, you know, like, if you're feeling nauseous, you know, like, you might be pregnant, you know, kind of thing. Or you might have eaten something that is not agreeing with you, or you might just have the flu, you know. So again, we don't want to see a demon behind every door, but we don't want to fail to recognize the demon that is behind the door. Okay? We don't want to fail to recognize what's actually going on. And so in any of these things, you know, so just because someone's staring kind of off into space, they might actually be daydreaming or just thinking about something, or maybe really tired, and like we've all been there where we're really tired and all of a sudden we're, oh man, I forgot I'm here kind of thing. It doesn't mean that you're demonized. However, when like we've seen it before where when we're talking with something and all talking with someone and all of a sudden the attention just cannot of the person, they can't focus and they're off, and we were just talking and they're off, and then all of a sudden they're back. And it's like, okay, something is trying to distract. And again, in all these things, we also discern with our spirit. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we are called to walk in the heavenly realm. We're called to walk in the spirit, right? And take notice of what's happening in the spirit. So we don't just have to rely on the physical manifestations alone. We also, our main witnesses is in the spirit.
So this isn't just talking about during deliverance ministry, like this is like, because you just mentioned like normal, like almost.
Well, there was no, we were in the middle of deliverance ministry as well at that point. But it can happen where, like, manifestations can happen in just the midst of conversation. And
or something that's said, or someone's presence.
Someone's presence makes something rise up there, or, what's going on? A button is pushed and things can rise up.
She's primarily talking here about what to recognize during deliverance ministry, right?
And I think also recognizing yourself too. I know that like it would help, it helps that too. So we're in the midst of conversation and all of a sudden something starts rising up, and to be aware of, oh, this this might be spiritual. Like, this is not just the pizza I ate yesterday, or this is not just, we'll get into the emotional responses, for instance. This isn't just a normal thing. This is something deeper than that. It has spiritual stronghold in me. And you might recognize it in someone. I don't think that it's wise to, hey, I recognize this in you. No, that's not. But it'll help us to pray for that person.
I think it's great that at Emmanuel Grace, we're praying more for each other during services and things. And so as that will increase, this manifestation thing can definitely rise up. Mm-hmm. And so actually I have a question. Do you think it's okay for a deliverance like to happen in a church setting? Like, in our service? Yeah. Why? Or why not?
Anybody? It's part of being part of the body.
Yes. Yeah. So I think people are afraid to manifest, maybe, or they wonder what's going to happen, because these are weird things that aren't your normal way of doing life, and yet we all have stuff and we all need to be delivered from sin, and so I think it's good to be exposed, and we also love each other in the church family, and it's a safe place, and and even like for kids, like, they're always like, okay, we have to separate from the kids, then they're not going to learn, and they're not going to recognize it, that it's for them too. Like, it's for all of us to be set free. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about, like, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free, and so we want to see people set free.
Yeah, kind of connecting to what Mary was asking, because it's not happened very often, but at least twice in the last year, like, I've woken up and, like, there's just this such a heaviness, mm-hmm. and then I come downstairs and I'll feel nauseated and, like sick, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, and I know that I'm actually not sick, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so then I'm like, oh boy, something's going on, right? Yep. And, yeah, so.
One thing I notice when we do pray for each other, we frequently will go and we'll lay hands on the person being prayed for. And it's interesting, I'm just going to mention this, that my brother-in-law is a pastor and they do a fair amount of deliverance stuff. And he said that he doesn't let people go and touch the person who's manifesting, because he's concerned about transference. And I thought, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of a, I know Paul mentions in, I'm trying to think of the letter, sorry, but I know he mentions that we shouldn't be quick to lay hands, but I think the context of that
is a little different, is
more for, setting apart for ministry.
Yeah.
But, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. And that's where, anything that's extra biblical, and so even these manifestation lists, we do see certain manifestations in Scripture, but for instance, eye changing color, it doesn't mention that in Scripture. So anything extra biblical, we don't toss it out, but we take it with a grain of salt. So, for instance, even the idea of transference, there's nothing really in Scripture that talks about transference being that easy. You know, it is very much about a fear thing. Like, and even when we talked about the different ways that the demonic gain access, through generational sin, through personal sin or traumatic events, violent acts, exploitation, and wounding. I don't think it's as easy as that, like that. However, I do remember a conversation with Randy that would go along with what you're saying, that one time he was in Haiti. It was during the time, I think, that God was teaching him about spiritual warfare. And they were walking through the market, and all of a sudden one guy was really interested in Randy and Darla, and more than usual, and wanted to give them this certain item. I don't know if it was at first wanted them to pay for it, which, okay, that happens all the time. Like, hey, buy my stuff. But then eventually it was like, hey, I want to give this to you. And Randy said, I knew, like, it was cursed. I knew that, like, there was the enemy had something in mind. And he's like, no, I'm not taking that. And so it is one of those areas of, Lord, give us wisdom in this. And so that's where, like, whether it's laying on of hands or whatever, that we don't rush in. And I think even the don't be hasty in laying out of hands, it is in the context of leadership and putting people in leadership in that. But I think we can also basically say in anything, don't be hasty. I never see God rush. Like, I never see him, like, oh, I always get scared when people say, we have to make a decision, like, right now. No, we don't. I don't like being rushed into a decision. I don't like being, like, coerced into it by the clock, if you will. And I see Jesus always in control, like, of his self, right, and his own heart and everything. And when other people were saying, come on, get out there, show yourself, and da-da-da, and he's like, oh, any time is right for you. But I keep my eyes on the Father. And that's, I think, that'll keep us from rushing into things. If we just got to make sure we keep our eyes on the Father and on the Spirit of God in us.
So when we are told to lay on, or more, is it more for elders or just believers in general, so laying on of hands, why is that done then? And I'm wondering if that does have something to do with
transference.
But it's Christ that is a greater in us to push out whatever is being touched.
And that's
not the other way around.
Exactly. And that's where I wouldn't want us to, like, and not saying anything against what you said there to a certain degree. Like, I don't want, I want to be careful because I'm not saying your brother-in-law is walking in superstition or anything, but I don't want us to fear, because truly greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In the Old Testament, you have this reality of if something's unclean and I touch it, I become unclean. There is a transference,
right,
where I become unclean. But in the New Testament, you see Jesus coming along, and whatever he touches becomes clean. So you have the exact opposite. So he touches the leper. By the law, by the Mosaic law, he should be unclean. But Jesus isn't unclean. The clean, the holy, makes the unclean clean. And so it's the opposite. So we, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, this does not mean then that we can rush into situations. We are still followers of Christ. We are not leaders of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. And so, but we don't need to walk in fear of, I touched you, and so very much keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Lord, should I lay my hands? Lord, should I just sit back right now? Lord, what do you want? I know that from what we've seen with different people in Freedom Ministries and down in Hope, there is this waiting on the Lord. And with laying on of hands, there is this respect for the person who is having, like, hands laid on them. And so it's not an automatic, but it's also not a, I don't think I should. It's, can I lay hands on you? And very much, though, eyes on Christ. Does that make sense? But there is something about transference But again, New Testament, I see actually the holy making the unholy clean. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay, some emotional manifestations. Sudden, uncharacteristic outbursts of laughter or mocking, pain, crying, fear, anger, sarcasm, rage, screaming, cursing, etc. Also, a complete shutdown emotionally is common. Just, again, that comatose, catatonic kind of thing. Where the person becomes numb and unable to feel or relate or even extremely traumatic events of their past, or relate to even extremely traumatic events of their past. Note that this is very different from the absence of extreme emotion that comes from genuine healing and deliverance. Yeah, there's a difference between numb and healed, right? And you can compare it to, like, if you have a physical wound and the doctor can numb it, but all of a sudden you don't feel anything. But when it's healed, you can feel, but it's the pain is gone. And it's a health. There's a health there, and it's healthy. Okay, same with our emotions. After true healing, there is an ability to confront and discuss the issue without becoming volatile or reliving the pain. It's now a safe memory that does not currently threaten the person. The memory is personal and real, but does not push buttons. With emotional avoidance or unholy protection, it is all still inside but walled up. The person feels disconnected from the trauma or pain personally. I have totally had it where it's, you can tell when someone's healed from something because, yeah, they can talk about it, and but without the reliving it and rehashing it. And I've had people where, like, no, I'm totally healed from that. It's like, why do I still feel pain on you then? Like, I'm totally healed from it, but I don't want to talk about it at all. You're not healed from it. You're not healed yet. And so, yeah, when there is healing, there is that ability to talk about it. I'll just go to the top. I have experienced, the only physical manifestation that I've ever had is when I tried to punch Randy. But it wasn't me trying to punch him, actually. It was, you know, because my hand, I shared that story before, right? And so, but I've had it before where a lot of times I can see the manifestation in me, and it's in my emotions. So the anger rises up, and it's uncontrollable, and I don't want to be angry right now. Why am I angry right now? And yet just, or abnormally perturbed, and almost this place of, like, don't touch me. Like, it's really weird. I've had it with some people, and I wonder if it's because we both have a similar thing going on in us, and like magnets that are similar, they repel each other, and there's this pushing away from each other. I've had it where I'm sitting and someone touches me. It's like, don't touch me, and which is really weird because I'm a touchy guy. I don't mind touching and that, but it's this inner repulsion, and I know it's demonic. And I know there's stuff in me that needs to be dealt with. And the manifestation is going on in my emotions and that.
Yeah, and just, like, that emotion is an emotion that Kevin has, but not every person will have that emotion.
No.
And another way I know it's worked in my life is, like, a shutdown of emotion, where I'm just not going to be emotional. And just not able to trust, and yeah, so there's different manifestations for everybody.
Totally different manifestations for everyone.
I was just this past week, I was talking with someone, and this is the second time I've heard it in relation to this particular group, the group Pink Floyd, and it used to be, there was another friend of mine who used to listen to a lot of Pink Floyd, and he said, but I would reach a threshold, because all of a sudden I'd start getting very angry for no reason.
Mm.
And just this past week, another fellow that I was talking with says, yeah, when I listen, and he didn't know the connection, like, and he says, when I listen to Pink, I get really angry. And you have to understand the music of Pink Floyd tends to be very sedate, or it's mellow, it's very, you know. And I thought, isn't that interesting that I'm hearing this? And I'm thinking, you know, I can remember back in the 70s, you know, rock music was of the devil, and there's all kinds of pastors that, itinerant speakers that would go and talk about rock music and the effects and how it opens the door to the demonic. So anyway, I just when we were talking about the emotions and how, and I'm just joining the dots about how, certain music, I think I do think that certain music opens
absolutely
certain doors and leads you open to demonic influence.
Yeah. I think, like, with the emotions, just like with the physical body, when you have reactions that make no sense, like you're not choosing it, like for anger, for instance, no one's wronged you, nothing has gone wrong that day, and yet you're just angry, or you come near a person and you just start getting angry, and there's no logical, like, they didn't hurt you, they didn't wrong you, they didn't. It's a good indication that there's, or you're listening to music and you just start getting angry or agitated or whatever. It's a good indication that there's a stronghold there and you're manifesting. You know? And so, like, stuff starts stirring up in you. Mm-hmm.
Can it also be a reaction to the demonic in someone else?
Yep.
That there's kind of a repulsion or a discomfort?
It's neat that you mentioned that. I remember talking to Randy about I was having a reaction to someone in my life. And I said, like, every time, kind of, there's just something there. And he said the same thing. You might actually, it might not be in you. It might be just reacting to what's in that person. And remember, we've talked about, you think about yourself as a city, and sometimes the enemy lobs stuff over your wall and trying to hurt you. But then sometimes the enemy's in the walls and trying to hurt you from inside. And so it takes discernment to know. But I said to Randy, that might be part of it, but I know that there's something going on inside me too. Like, it's not just coming from without. Yes, there's that, but I just knew that, no, it's touching something inside me too. And I don't know how to... If someone asks, well, how do you know, Kevin? I don't know how to explain that. But I think, like, where we need to be willing to be honest with ourselves and even as praying through it with each other, to be honest about that. Yeah.
Yeah, because when it's your spouse, that's really difficult.
It really is, actually. With anyone close to you, it really becomes difficult, and the stuff is intermixed. But you're right. We might be reacting to something else. But even there, we need to recognize that, like, okay, just like we talked about last night, Monday, like, our calling, our destiny is to be conformed to Christ's likeness. Okay, Romans chapter 8. That's our destiny. I don't see Christ reacting to other people's stuff. Like, I see him able to walk in peace and walk in healing and be that solid bedrock, you know. And that's where he wants us to get to as well, so that, you know what, your stuff doesn't affect me like that. Where I can be solid for you in Christ, you know, where we can be, you know. And you think about the MASH tent that God has often talked to us about. So, you know, a family comes in and the father is bleeding out because of a car accident, and then there's the doctor, and family is yelling, and everyone's in panic. They need the doctor to be calm. they need the doctor to be still, and maybe someone's yelling at them, why aren't you doing something right now? Well, I have to assess everything, and not getting caught up in the, that's, Lord, that's what we want to be. That's where we want to be for others too. So even if it is reacting, we want to get to a place of peace. But I realize that, like, that's a growing thing, and it takes time and all of that. Can anyone else think, if you don't mind, if you don't mind being a little vulnerable, I'm not going to force anyone, but do any of these things, like, hey, I recognize that when all of a sudden I get, like, something rises up in me for no reason, around certain people, for instance. We've mentioned familiar spirits. So it often happens around family. Or you get together with someone that you don't get together for a while. Like I shared the other day where I get together with my brothers, and all of a sudden I got this little boy thing going on. This little brother, hey, look at me, like, hey guys, what are you doing? You know, kind of thing, and trying to live up to something. And it's like, I'm 45 years old. What is going on here? It's ridiculous. But it just, there's something about seeking approval and all that kind of stuff. Does anyone have anything, maybe, that just put it out there?
I've got something. I don't want to listen too much to Trump. Because I say, man, where's that dial? Switch it off.
I don't know if that's something in you, or that just might be common sense. I don't know. I don't necessarily think that's a demonic manifestation. Might be good self-preservation common sense. Preserving your own sanity. Mind you, he definitely pushes buttons up in people, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not hearing things.
I guess I'm not sure what you're asking, because, like, I know stuff rises up in me and in between us. Mm-hmm. When certain,
what? You know,
it's all me. Don't worry. It's not you. It's all me. But yeah, those familiar things.
Yeah.
I mean, we've called it doing the dance, and we've talked to you guys about that too.
It's
that those familiar things that rise up, and the dance starts.
And I don't want anyone to think that, like, automatically all of that's demonic, because again, I don't want anyone to get in the habit of, well, it's the devil. Like, the devil made me do it, kind of thing. No, it's our own choices, too.
Yeah.
And there's our own regular emotional stuff. But when certain things manifest in us where that wasn't there before, and all of a sudden, it's there.
I've rolled my eyes before.
No, that's a little bit different than the eyes rolling to the back of your head. Yeah, that's a little different. Anyways, just something to maybe think about or pray about. And the more we recognize, again, what's actually happening, what's our responsibility, but also what the enemy is doing in us, the better, the more quickly we can be set free as well. And so,
even from, like, an emotional thing, like, just when you talked about shutting down, like, I recognize that too, but is that demonic, or is that just sin, like the soul and the sin? Like, I don't, my first inclination is not to go to, oh, it's the demonic.
Right.
It's sin in my life that, so a stronghold, like a,
yep,
stuff that hasn't been,
right,
I'm not walking in the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
As opposed to, well, this is, you know, a demon that's manifesting.
Absolutely. What I would say is, if you've walked in a certain way long enough, there probably, most definitely, is a spiritual component to it. And so, because, like, we're three in one, right? And they're not, like, it's not like everything is so easily separated. And so I know I've had this conversation with, like, for instance, mental illness. I've had that with people where whether the mental illness starts with something chemical or physical, like a traumatic thing, you know, falling on the head or something like that, or whether it started spiritual, after a certain amount of time, I guarantee there's a spiritual component to it. There is a demonic component, because the enemy is brutal and the enemy is opportunistic. And so the enemy will come in through the cracks, through the sin, in the, like, you know, or through the trauma, and will take advantage. So where it started almost doesn't even matter. So it's this place of I take responsibility for my own choices, but then I also rebuke the enemy, and in the name of Jesus, get out. I'm not, like, when I pray through some of these things for myself, it's like, Lord, I'm not blaming the enemy for all this. Like, I allowed this.
Well, I guess that's
did it.
The way I lean is more,
yeah,
I allowed, like, it's still my own will and choice,
yeah,
to walk that out.
Right. But it's this place of, Lord, I allowed this, and I gave the enemy a really nice, comfortable place to kind of set up camp. And so forgive me for that. I want to break that contract, if you will. I want to break that agreement with the enemy. And now I turn towards the enemy and get off my land. Like, I've allowed you in, get out in the name of Jesus. Because there is that, you know, the old cartoon, you know, the devil and the angel kind of thing. There is that place where we've allowed the devil to have a say in our lives and have an influence. And we've allowed him to tug on our strings, our emotional strings. Like, here, you can play, and we often are, as long as you play nice, well, we would never, but he doesn't play nice, you know, and we've given him that free access sometimes by the way we think, by the decisions we've made, and so we repent, we starve the enemy out, but then we also can kick the enemy out. We resist him, and we kick him out, and so there is that both and. And so I don't want us, even as we're studying this, I don't want us to try and have every, like, I don't have every, I don't know how it all often works. And it's funny, in my prayers to God, I often just say that, because I talk to God like I talk to you. I talk, like friendship and, like, with reverence. But, and I say, God, you know I don't understand this. Like, I don't know how this works. I don't. Like, even when talking to him about the angelic, oh, Lord, send your angels to that person. Lord, I don't know exactly what that means. Like, I don't. But I see it in Scripture, and I just want you to be with that person, you know, kind of thing. So too with this. Lord, I don't know all the ins and outs. But I do know I've given the enemy a place in my life. I've allowed him to influence me. I've listened to his lies. I've given him a little bit of a home. And I'm sorry, forgive me. And now I rebuke him. I say, in the name of Jesus, get out of my home. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my emotions. I cast you out in the name of Jesus, you know. And even that, it's like, it's not about the words, because sometimes I say, God, oh, I sound so religious there, you know, kind of thing. But you know my heart, and I just want to be set free. I want to be free from this. So I take full responsibility. But again, I see the manifestation when sometimes, again, the classic one that I've shared before is when Carlene was praying for me, this was like 15 years ago, and as she prayed, I just started getting angrier and angrier. And it was really weird, because it's like, but her prayers are good, and they're right, but I was getting angrier and angrier. It was the enemy. It was the enemy just yanking on my emotions and just choking, or whatever metaphor you want to give to it. But when I finally agreed with what she was praying, and I kind of said that amen to it, and the enemy was just kicked out. So, yeah.
There's four or five things that are just kind of humming along the same path, and I think they're all kind of connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back for a moment to the idea of transference.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking of this object that this man wanted to give to Randy and Darla.
Yep.
That was cursed. Then immediately my thought went to the Christmas shoe boxes and how we pray mm-hmm. over the shoe boxes mm-hmm. for a blessing, which is kind of the opposite of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking of
Paul.
Paul and the handkerchief.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'm thinking, too, of something we read in the journey earlier about prayers that are really kind of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to, all these different things are kind of humming around in my head right now, and I'm kind of, I want to kind of join the dots and think, okay, it is good, I think it's a good thing to pray mm-hmm. over the shoe boxes and that the appropriate items, you know, like the kid that needed the Band-Aids, mm-hmm. that would happen.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. It is very cool. Yeah, sorry I got distracted by that. But somehow I think... So, especially with Paul's handkerchiefs and items, you know, like, it's true, I have to, and it's not a legalistic, I'm thinking, you know, like, you don't want to get caught up in the mechanics of,
right.
of stuff, but somehow, I think there is a deeper... something deeper to glean from this, but I'm not sure what it is.
Well, the one difference between, like, say, for instance, the transference that the enemy wants to bring and the transference that God wants to bring. So with the shoeboxes or with the handkerchiefs or praying over a room or praying over... I listened to people teaching about praying for your children, praying over their pillows and I know I've done that. I just grabbed their pillows and just prayed over them, like thinking about Paul and handkerchiefs. The prayer, the righteous prayer is not a prayer of control. It's a prayer of blessing. Like the shoebox itself with the gifts inside the shoebox, it's not like, okay, now these are going to be your favorite toys, whether you like it or not. Like, you got to use everything in it. Ah, it's not like that. It's, I offer this as a gift. And it's yours to do with as you please. So too with the blessing. Like when we, like with the handkerchiefs and that, it's this offering, this blessing of God. Lord, we pray for people, or the laying on of hands even, the transference. It's not like we're forcing. Prayers of witchcraft, on the other hand, and which lines up with the enemy, are these prayers of control. Like, I want to control you. And even if they are prayers that I want to control the person into a good place, that's still witchcraft. Because God himself could do that, but he doesn't. Because that's the opposite of love. And so the enemy always wants to control. His transference is always to gain control. So that's why he grabs my emotions and tries to suck me down. Whereas God, when he blesses, he pours himself out and invites us up. He invites us, though. It's the invitation. And so the blessing is given freely. The curse is trying to gain that foothold of control. So that's always the difference. But there is very real power in both. And that's where we need to recognize.
Talking about things manifesting, I forget what the issue was, but something had happened, and I was sharing with Larry, and everything out of my mouth was negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what is wrong with me? Like, it was, and it wasn't even really aimed at Larry. Like, it just was negative, period.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, quite quickly, both of us realized, oh, this is not...
from God.
Not from God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and, that was an interesting.
Yeah. And that's where we need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility. Yeah, is something manifesting here? That's where we need to take responsibility for our own decisions, but also recognize that there's something pushing us as well. And it's funny, how many times have we heard this from someone? Okay, I know I shouldn't say this, but, and then they go on and say it. It's like, no, just stop right there. No, but, just, I know I shouldn't say this. That's it. And don't give in to what you know is wrong, because that's opening a door. But I feel compelled to say it. Yeah, well, who's compelling you? And if it's going on as a regular thing, if that's a regular thing in your life, that you always feel compelled to speak negatively, even though you know it's wrong, and I don't see that in you, but like, then, okay, there's a demonic thing going on there. And you need to deal with that. You need to, A, ask for forgiveness, you repent and believe, but then also, in the name of Jesus, I reject this. Get out of my life. You know, because the enemy keeps on coming in and starts shouldering us in the direction that he wants us to go. Okay?
I think sometimes it's possible that we have some special thing, and we treat it especially. Mm-hmm. And we have to be very careful so that we don't make that a god or an idol.
Yep.
That is, it's very easily done.
Yep.
Somebody can say, this is my favorite dog, or this is my favorite cat, oh, you're such a beautiful thing, and all that. No, thank God for it, but treat it like an animal.
Yeah. Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And if we say, well, I'm immune to that, then you've done wrong already.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's true. It's good.
Just another example of when you ask about manifestations, how that correlates sometimes for me, personally, to certain geographic areas. Like when I'm in St. Catharines, certain parts of St. Catharines, I get very, I'm very aware that I become very negative, and I can't, there's certain spots in St. Catharines I cannot be. I just got to get out of there. And it's, there's...
Morgan and I are just talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you know, whenever I'm down by, and I know there's a lot of history and stuff, but it still affects me when I'm down by the Niagara Falls. I frequently have suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's, I think that's a function of where I am.
And though that, what I would say, is more spiritual sensitivity to the atmosphere in that place. It's not in you.
Right.
It's more of, I'm recognizing what's going on right now. I know that there's a guy who's part of Hope Church, and he would call Randy and say, I'm having these thoughts right now. And it's just out of the blue, and like suicidal thoughts or something. And they've discerned that, yeah, like he's very sensitive to the plans of the enemy and what the enemy is doing. And it actually, he's using it now for good, because, like, or he was at least years ago, I haven't talked to him about it, but where, okay, like I'm going to start interceding along these lines, because this is what the enemy is planning.
In this area.
Yeah, it's a stronghold of that area. And so I'll pray against that. So I wouldn't say that that's in you. Like, so going to near the falls and having those suicidal thoughts, it's not in you. You're just recognizing that,
right,
man, around the falls, there is a bunch of suicidal demons. Like, and that, like, that's a stronghold in that place.
And and not because of the name of it, but I built a couple of houses in Fort Erie, and every time it was like a spiritual checkpoint when I passed Sodom Road.
Mm.
Like, I always felt like once I got past on the QEW, it was like I'm in a different spiritual zone, so to speak. It's weird.
I've never had that, but I've talked with people who, yeah, they can tell when they've crossed the border.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's an actual border, like between Canada and the U.S. Like Randy says, he can tell the difference between Canada and the U.S.
Yeah,
I can't. Like, it has a different feel, but I think that's more the way they build their roads, and especially if you go through Buffalo, Buffalo definitely has a different feel. It's like, but like some people say, they've crossed a border, and it's like, yeah. So what I would really encourage with that, because I see a few heads nodding here, it's like, okay, pray into that. And I think that has to do with your gifting. I think that has to do a little bit with your calling, and the discerning of spirits. And Lord, what do you want me to do with this? You know, it's a little bit different than what we're talking about right now. Because, yeah, I would encourage, it's not that it's touching something in you. Although, recognize the difference between discerning on the outside and also when something on the outside actually is touching something on the inside, and work through that. But yeah, like I think that's a strategic gifting, very strategic, and we need that in the body of Christ. Yeah.
That go again? Like, it was with downtown, right?
Oh, yeah. We had taken the kid downtown. Or I had taken the kid. And it's just like, oh. We just, yeah.
It's heavy.
Definitely more discerning than.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just. And it's visible too. You can see so much.
Right.
Visible.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, you can't stay down there very long. You just start getting. Yeah.
Notice the difference between downtown and the North End. Like, I feel like it's so much more open in the North End, that it's as if there's something just like heavy, like just like a actual canopy or something. Oh,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And there will be certain, I imagine, like, not just imagine, like, there will be certain manifestations in those areas. Like, so even like the suicidal spirits and the demonic, like by Niagara Falls. So someone might say, well, again, the skeptical will say, well, with Niagara Falls, is it, yeah, someone's just come out of the casino and lost everything, and so they decide to commit suicide. Or is it that the demonic is there? Like, it's a both and. It's a both and. And there is something where, yeah, that's the opportunity to do that. But then there is the spiritual component of the enemy is there and trying to suck people in and draw them into that. Trying to find chinks. And so that's where discernment is really good, because then we know how to pray. So when we go to Niagara Falls, we should really be praying for people who have been thinking about suicide and protecting against death. Pray prayers of protection. Pray life over that place. You know, pray that people would see the beauty. Because when I see Niagara Falls, I don't look over the edge and say, man, I wonder what it would be like. I'm like, man, this is gorgeous. It's beautiful. Oh, God, you are great and you are good. And I think of your voice, because it says your voice is like thundering waters, you know, kind of thing. And so, Lord, may people see that rather than, and may they hear the, you know, may they hear the preaching that is going on in nature rather than the enemy trying to bring people to death. So, I would really encourage you to use the discernment, though, to pray. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. All right. Some other then manifestations. So mental manifestations. Flashbacks, visions, confusion, hearing voices, feeling spacey, drugged or out of it. Feeling of insanity or out of touch with reality, drifting in and out of consciousness, inability to think clearly or deductively, can't remember basic truths, repetition of philosophies, theologies, mindsets, or thought processes. I've had that where, and so, again, not that it's always the demonic, but one that has come to me recently, and this is where even last night I was sharing where I know God's talking to me about discipline, and it has to do with this mental thing, because sometimes when I want to concentrate on something, and I finally, okay, I'm gonna get down to it, and all of a sudden, it's the squirrel thing, you know, the demonic squirrel. Maybe I should do that right now. No, yeah, that's right. I need a cup of coffee first before I do this. And take a while, and then I'll come back. Okay, I'm ready. And there we go. And that's right. I wanted to Google that word, find out what that meant. Okay, I'll put that aside and Google it, you know. And just distraction. It's like, and again, not to blame the enemy. It's my fault. It's my lack of discipline. It's my sin, but the enemy is definitely there nudging me and shouldering me. I just always get this picture of, you know, when you walk really close to a person, you can just start moving them in one direction, you know, and you just, that's what I see the enemy doing in my mind sometimes. And this distracted, not able to focus on a task sometimes. That's one of the things that I sometimes deal with. Do any of these make sense?
Yeah, last week I was reading through this and I was like, oh, I have, and Craig will probably attest to this a little bit, I have like the hardest time describing outwardly, like with words, my emotions. Like, Craig will be like, what's wrong? Like, if I'm upset or whatever. Like, I'm like, I can't talk to you right now because I have to figure it out in my head. But then I can never actually figure it out in my head.
Okay.
So I was really like, oh, I wonder like if there's something, but I wouldn't even know where to begin with that because, or am I just like a really like, you know, like babbling sort of person?
Yeah, I'm not gonna finish that sentence. No. You know, that wisdom?
I've known that.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, or often like I'll have moments of quick, mostly clarity, but like I'll have yeah, or just like. Where was it in here? What was the word? Oh, maybe it's it. Oh, basic truth. So things like that, it's just like, I of course know them, but if I was to be able to, if someone was to be like, oh, explain this.
Right.
Or if I was to come across somebody who wanted to talk about it, I would be like, nothing is coming to my head right now.
Right.
So that just kind of crossed my mind. I was like, but it kind of is like it's. I've always wondered, I'm like, why can't I just
articulate
it? Yeah, if I write it, if I'm writing it, or if I'm thinking it to myself, no problem.
Mm.
But as soon as I have to say it to somebody out loud, it's just like, not there.
And so, yeah, pray through it.
Yeah, so that came to my mind last week when I was reading over. I was like, that could be, because it never crossed my mind that it would be something spiritual or.
Right.
Yeah, demonic.
I mean, definitely pray through it. Again, we don't want to jump to it's demonic.
Yeah.
But even if it's not, to pray, Lord, I want to be able to articulate this.
Yeah.
I want to be able to speak your truth. I want to be able to share with my spouse my emotions and what I'm going through. Like, I want to be able to communicate. So even if it's not demonic, because even as you're explaining it, I don't get anything in my spirit that's like, yeah, there's something there. But Lord, is it something like that? And even if it's not, can you please heal me?
Yeah, which would never have been anything that I would consider. So either way.
Yeah.
That's great.
Either way. Because again, we don't want to jump, but it's a great a great process. Because again, Lord, I know that this is healthy. I know it's healthy to want to communicate. I know it's healthy to articulate what's going on. I know it's healthy to want to be able to explain basic truths to people who are asking.
Yeah.
So, can I just be healed, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Any other questions or comments on that?
Yeah. I was thinking about that looping process. When I had Spencer, I had some postpartum. And part of that was the looping, the not being able to get off a thought, just going back around in circles. And there's someone that I know who something happened and it affected her adversely. But I know that she can't get past it. And it's been years already. And she is a Christian, and yet I'm like, maybe, like, that is a place that it seems clear now that is a place where Satan loves to live, because it's stopping her from moving on.
Absolutely.
And anything that does that, he's thrilled with.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, it ties in again to the whole take every thought captive.
Absolutely.
There's more to it, I think, at this point.
Yep. Because again, even if it didn't start out demonically, the demon will recognize stuff like this and start building a home there. And the demonic will reinforce the bad choice. So you make a bad choice once, twice, three, four times. You camp there for a little bit all on your own. He's like, ooh, I like that. I'm going to go in there. And he'll start reinforcing. You know, and it's almost like when you get in a group that's a part of a complain fest, you know, and you're complaining a little bit, and all of a sudden everyone starts piling, and then it really goes downhill fast. And so the enemy, yeah, he's like that. He'll come in and...
That's where I think even the whole trauma thing,
yep.
When something is done to someone,
yep.
They will be like, why did that happen? And then it becomes
their,
they get stuck.
Yep. And it becomes their identity. Yeah.
Regret can loop.
Big time. Grieving. Like, so many things that, like, we would think even some, I don't want to say, not necessarily positive, but understandable. Like, grieving can loop. And then there's these, you know, well, everyone grieves differently, and there's no timetable on grief, and it sounds so right, especially when written on Facebook with a certain picture on it, you know, kind of thing. And yet it's like, no, but you know what? Like, I hate these ones where, you know, when so-and-so died, a certain part of me died with them, and it'll always just be that way kind of thing. It's like, that's, like, love me, but that's from the pit of hell. Like, that's just wrong. And I know, like, I know we have people who have experienced loss here, you know, but there is healing. Yes, there might be a scar, but the scar is meant to heal. Like, the wound is meant to heal, and yes, it'll become a scar, but that's where, again, you get to that place, you know you've been healed when you can talk about it, you know, and you can walk through it. But it's not like 40 years later, 50 years later, it's not meant to still be there like that. There's healing. Now, I don't know exactly how long, and I want to be very, very careful about what I say. And some people might listen to this and say, I'm not careful enough already. But like, because I haven't experienced big loss. I really haven't. You know, I've lost grandparents. But they all lived their full lives, you know. My last grandparent died and he was 102.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much grieving at a funeral for someone who lived 102. There's actually a lot of rejoicing and dancing, you know, quite frankly. So I want to be really careful. But this loop, and the enemy wants to keep us in grief. Or the enemy wants to keep us in the hurt. Or the enemy wants to keep us in the trauma. The enemy wants to, you know, someone's abused. And I really want to be careful with people who've been abused. I've never been abused. So I don't want to even think that, like, I want to be really careful with that.
Yeah.
But there is healing from that. There is a place of healing. And I've seen it in others. I've seen it in some people who have been abused, and they've come to a full place of healing, fully healed from it, where they can talk about it and now minister to others.
Yeah.
But the enemy wants to keep you in that loop where you relive it for the rest of your days.
I just had a picture, actually, of the scars that are there. They're not ugly scars. They're actually in the shape of a cross.
Mm.
Has Jesus' name in the scar.
Yeah.
So it's actually a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I love the picture that the final quest gives of scars. And it's talking physical scars, but I think it you can apply it emotionally too, where the scars, like, they have gold in it, and they're actually very beautiful. And if we allow Christ to heal our wounds, and then they become, yeah, scars, but they're beautiful, they're inlaid with gold. But when they're healed, like when they're healed. Yeah. And so, Lord, heal me from these things. And that's why people who have been through some of the most horrible things can then minister to others who have been through those things so much more effectively. But they're walking in the beauty of healing already. Yeah. But again, yeah, you can see the demonic when all of a sudden someone's talking about something that happened 40 years ago as if it happened today. It's like, oh, now we want to be sympathetic. We want to be empathetic. But it's like, Lord, there's healing. And we try and bring that across then to people. And that's where God give us wisdom, give us strength, give us the right words to say. But we want to encourage people towards healing.
I was just going to say, there's a real, I think that's a real special gift to help somebody through that. Because there's two ditches there too. There's the, suck it up.
Yeah, that's not good.
It probably isn't a good ditch.
No, that's not good. That doesn't work,
The coddling ditch on the other side,
yeah,
which may be born from a right motive, and yet you're not really helping that individual either, whatever their circumstance they're walking
through. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's good.
There's something that I've experienced, and it is, I did pray for my wife to die. People say, how cruel. No, I didn't want to see her suffer.
Yeah.
And now that she's gone, I often see her pictures, and I think of her, and I still love her.
Yeah.
But I made myself a promise. Love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Yeah.
And the spouse comes second. It's not first.
That's right.
And sometimes that can cause you to really think, but that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And as believers, we have that faith that God is going to take us home to the place where those that have gone before us are.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see them again.
Yeah, we'll meet again.
And reading Imagine Heaven.
Yeah.
I read this afternoon for a while. It's beautiful. And so then I can say I'm happy. And I know the Holy Spirit is within me.
Yeah.
And he gives me comfort. And yes, I can be that happy that I've got to wash them at my pail doesn't run over.
Yeah,
you know, but it's good, and I can thank him, and I know I'm by myself in the room, and two rooms or whatever there are. I know he's everywhere,
yeah.
And I'm not worried about anybody or anything. And it's just that God gives us the peace, but we have to seek after it.
Mm.
It doesn't just come
right.
Like a dog is not dragging along the road.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's very true.
So then it is hard, but when the Lord says, "I'll be with you always," that's what it is.
Yeah.
And there was a song, which is not, it can be interpreted the right way, but it says, "Hold my hand." The song says, "Hold my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise."
Mm.
Okay? Now, I don't go for that part, but hold my hand, Lord.
Yeah. I go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I just was actually going to mention about this list. It's so counterfeit, isn't it? Like because some of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are similar. Hmm. Like, don't you notice? Like, so I can see where people are sometimes, like, if they see somebody shaking, or...
I see. Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? They're like, it's demonic. You
yeah.
know? And, I can see where people would say that.
Yeah.
Especially when you're not used to it.
Yeah.
But it has a totally different flavor, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even, yeah, like the sudden uncharacteristic outbursts of laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's laughter in the spirit, too. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And it's like, but there is a... That's where we need to be discerning with our spirit. And what we also can see then is, what fruit does it bear? What fruit does it bear? We always judge a tree. That's where Jesus said, we judge a tree by its fruit. So even holy manifestations, shaking, slain in the spirit, being caught up in a vision or in a trance, you know, like where... There it is in scripture, people caught in a trance. I wonder what it looked like for everyone else that was around the person who was caught up in a trance, you know? Maybe they looked comatose. Oh, it's demonic. No, it might be actually from God. But we'll know from the fruit. We'll always know from the fruit. So, it's good. All right, so if Lord, give us discernment about these things. Okay, so remember that the enemy doesn't really care what you believe. He has no favorites. He just uses whatever bait you will bite, as long as it keeps you from the true, intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. So too, even we talked about these loops. He doesn't care what it is, as long as he can keep you from intimacy with Christ, as long as he can keep you from healing, as long as he can keep you from walking out who you're meant to be, as long as he can keep you in that funk or in that argument or in that whatever. Okay? He specializes in twisting the truth, and yes, even the scriptures, to bring bondage. Because that's where, too, like with some of the grieving or the pain that someone's gone through, they'll be like, but isn't this true that this was wrong? Yes, it's true. Yes. I've had to say to people, yes, you have been wronged. You have been hurt. What happened to you is awful and horrible, and God weeps over it. He wept over it when it happened to you. Yes. But if you every day replay it in your mind, and I've heard people say that, it replays in my mind, replays in my mind, replays, it's going to keep you from everything you're created to be, and it keeps you in the bondage. And that's not of God. So he'll twist the truth. He'll twist the emotion. He'll twist the compassion. And even like you say, that other ditch of coddling, he'll twist that compassionate heart, that wanting to soothe, that wanting to nurture, that wanting to rescue. And like it keeps them from healing. You know, I even think of, again, the MASH tent, surgery. Surgery is messy. And it really, if you think about some of the surgeries, you know, I think about Jesse going into surgery. And now surgery is a lot better now, like where they can just go in through little holes. But imagine like what it used to be, and where they had to cut things open and all its... Oh, I don't want that person to go through that. I don't want them to be cut open. Yeah, it can keep you actually from healing. You have to go through it so that you can be who you're created to be.
Right.
So, he wants to twist the truths. John 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So again, we look to the fruit. Truth brings freedom. We're looking for freedom. We're looking for the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just the truth that sets you free, but the truth you know. The Greek word to know here is gnosko, signifying full revelatory knowledge. Like it's knowing in the deep place. The simple existence of truth will not help anyone. Like salvation, it must be willfully received and believed in order to take effect. And when the word belief there, we know that it's not just belief cognitively. I always think of James. Whenever I think of belief, I always think of James. And where faith, and faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. It's not that the action, I know some people have accused me of this actually. And I think that's why a few people aren't, anyways, where I point to the action and they're like, oh, your work salvation. It's like, no, it's the action doesn't save. The action proves that salvation has taken place.
Yeah.
But it doesn't save.
The action is the evidence.
And if there is no evidence, then nothing really happened. That's what James is saying. True faith, true belief will produce action. Faith that is of God, faith that is from heaven, belief that is from heaven, knowledge that is from heaven will have action to it. If your knowledge is not producing action, it's not biblical knowledge. If your belief is not proving, like causing action, it's not biblical belief. It's a false belief. It's a counterfeit. Okay?
Just an illustration, a pretty rough one, though, is the apple tree on our front lawn here. Mm-hmm. If a city slicker comes here in wintertime, I can't prove to him that that's an apple tree.
No.
Come in September, and I'll prove it because it'll be full of apples.
Right.
So that's the apple is the evidence or the fruit.
Yep. That it's an apple tree. Exactly.
An apple tree.
It's good.
You shall know them by your fruit.
That's right. It's good. That's good. Okay, so knowing is more than just cognitive. There is no banana tree, it's a banana plant. But anyways. The simple existence of truth will not help anyone. Like salvation, it must be willfully received and believed. For further understanding and enlightenment, refer back to page 27. Oh no, we have to go all the way back to 27. And review everything from that page forward. What? Oh no!
It's the snakes and ladders game. We just had a snake.
This is... Oh, I thought we were getting close to the end all the way down. Sorry, squirrel. under the subject of mikvah for the Hebrew rendering of the word truth. On my page 27, it's not mikvah, though.
27, the first section or second section?
Oh, good call, good call. I don't have a 27 of the second section. I have the olive tree on page 27, yes. Where is mikvah?
That's what I have. Fig tree and olive tree.
So look at all the sevens then. First person to find...
Mikvah is on page 53.
53? I was going to say, first person to get it.
Johnny gets a kiss.
Oh, gets a
kiss. I'm glad it was Carlene. Come here, baby.
So are we.
Come and claim your reward. Okay. So, there are many spiritual mysteries and the hidden and treasures hidden in the Hebrew words. One such word is emet, meaning truth. It is spelled with only three Hebrew letters, Aleph, Mem, and Tav. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav is the last, and Mem is the exact middle. Every Hebrew letter stands for something, represents something. The letter Mem stands for water. The letter Mem stands for water. Can you see the picture of how God is telling us that the living water stands between life and death, the beginning and the end? You must pass through the living water from either direction. It also gives us a whole new understanding when Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Remember that Jesus referred to himself as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, as well as the living water. He is the essence. He was in essence saying, when you know me, you will be free. Yeah, he is the truth. He is the truth. And that truth will change us. He will change us. You can't know Jesus and not be changed. Can't know Jesus and not be changed. Okay. All right. Yep. Some people manifest very strongly, while others are set free with hardly any manifestation at all. It really doesn't have to do with personality or inhibitions. Some very outgoing, boisterous people manifest minimally, while some of the quiet and shy ones are the most dramatic. There's not necessarily a rhyme or reason to it, so just be prepared to what can happen, and don't necessarily anticipate a particular scene. And that's really important, because we need, even though the manifestations are, dramatic in that sometimes, we need to remember it's not about the manifestation. And this is where sometimes I think, there are certain ministries that have gotten caught up in the manifestation. And almost this wanting the enemy to manifest. You know, wanting the enemy to speak. Giving the enemy a stage. But what I see in Jesus' ministry, and praise God, what I see in Randy and Darla and Freedom Ministries, Hope Church and all that, is very much this, no, enemy, be quiet. So Jesus would always look to the enemy, like the demonic and the demon, and say, be quiet. Not allowed to speak. Or even when he healed people, Jesus didn't want a circus. Jesus didn't want a big stage. When he saw, when he had someone who needed healing, and he saw a crowd rushing coming towards him, it said he would quickly heal the person. Almost like, I want to get this done before the people get here. Because I don't want it to be about that. I don't want this to be a big stage. I don't want this to be a big production. I want the focus to be on the gospel, the good news. And setting people free, like deliverance ministry, is not about, hey, get the cameras, turn on the lights, hold it. Don't do the deliverance session. We've got to get a new battery for the camera first. No. It's about setting people free. Yep. And what I like, and I would recommend this, so if, you know, Carlene mentions, what if it starts happening at, well, not what if, when it starts happening. Is it allowed to happen at our times together? Where we guard each other and we protect each other. And sometimes that means just going off into the corner or into the other room, but taking care of it quietly. Sometimes that doesn't work out. Sometimes it happens right there. And when the person's manifesting, you don't say, hey, can we move over here, you know, or whatever. No, sometimes you have to take care of it right then and there. But it's not a big production. I love the one time I was praying for someone and they were manifesting a little bit at the back. Everyone else just kept singing. Kept on with the worship time. It's not about giving special attention over there. No, God's doing something over there, and that's great. Let's just keep worshiping. Okay, it's not a big production. The enemy, though, wants to make it a big production. The enemy wants to make it a circus. And we will not be a part of that. So I like taking the example of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be quiet. I don't need to talk with the demon. I don't need to try and gather information from the demon, because the demon lies. So I can't even trust anything that the demon's going to say anyways and do. And it's just like, no, Lord, what do you want to do? Okay, does that make sense?
Yep.
But sometimes, some people will be more dramatic, like will manifest more dramatically. It's not that they're more dramatic, but Some people will manifest more dramatically. So whether you are the one going through deliverance or the one ministering, you can always learn something new each time. Remain teachable. I think we're definitely in that position, that's for sure. One sure way to miss the mark or be tricked by the enemy is to think that you know it all. I don't think anyone in this room thinks that. That's good. But even if we go through 4,000 deliverance sessions, you know, and we're 20 years, 30 years down the road, and we need to understand that we always have something new to learn. So no one knows it all. The enemy loves arrogance and pride. They are two of his favorite chums to hang with. Stay dependent on the Spirit of God at all times. And that's why even, yeah, when manifesting, when praying, when ministering, and this doesn't just have to do with deliverance. This has to do with leading worship. This has to do with preaching, teaching. This has to do with, you know, getting ready for this coming Sunday for Tabernacles. Our eyes on Jesus. Eyes on Jesus at all times. Our eyes on the Spirit of God at all times. Knowledge, experience, and authority are valuable tools in deliverance, but the Spirit of God is indispensable. Actually, without the Spirit of God, those other things are actually dangerous.
It becomes a cult.
Yeah, it can become a cult. It can become all about one person. Or it can become about a production and that. We don't want that. Another thing, never trust past experience over spiritual discernment. Because it's not always going to look the same. And again, this actually, you can take this section right now and apply it to basically anything in the church. So again, leading worship, you know, don't trust past experience over spiritual discernment. Well, last time we sang this song, we went this route, and this is what God did among us. Spirit loves doing new things. And we're at a different place than we were the last time we sang that song. Or the last time we got together, it looked like this, and I preached this, and da-da-da, I don't know. It's just like Larry said with this past Sunday, oh, that was a traditional Sunday service. And it's like, isn't it great? Like, yeah, that's the way that God wanted to go. It's good. So, spiritual discernment above all. People have been known to attempt to cast out the demonic with a person that was manifesting the presence of God. Yep.
That'd be horrible.
The Pharisees accused Jesus of being demonic.
Yeah.
And he was just manifesting the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and it breaks my heart, it's going on today where certain parts of the body of Christ are accusing other parts of the body of Christ of walking by the power of the enemy when they're actually walking by the Spirit of God. And it's sad. But again, not to say that everything that's going on is the Spirit of God either. That's where we need spiritual discernment.
Yeah.
So discernment does know the difference. And that's why I love that we have some people really gifted in discernment. And I would encourage, speak up. Speak up. Let's discern together. Let's discern together. Okay? Be careful if you find yourself overly hyped up or filled with adrenaline when doing deliverance. That's not a good thing. It's like being trigger happy. Need safety. For some reason, hunting comes to mind, and you don't want your finger on the trigger. And it's the first thing that moves, you shoot, and all of a sudden there's friendly fire, and you've shot someone. You know, no. It's not a place for being hyped up. It's not a place for adrenaline. It's not an adrenaline junkie kind of thing. We need to actually be still and know that He is God. We need to be at peace. You don't want a surgeon who is all hyped up coming and doing surgery on you. You want that calm and that peace, that stillness and self-control. Okay? so too when we are praying over people. Because the adrenaline and everything, it can cause your discernment to go out the window as you start thinking that what you're feeling is discernment when it's actually just your own emotions and your own stuff and your own excitement even. Okay? The enemy is not threatened by emotion, and he's not threatened by zeal or loud commands. You do not need to be loud. You do not need to... The enemy is not deaf, and he is not intimidated by our voices. He's intimidated by the Spirit of God who lives in us.
Amen.
Okay? He's intimidated by the authority that God has given us and that we walk in. He's not intimidated by loud. So he's terrorized by faith. And faith is a place of peace, rest, and knowing your authority. The ultimate picture of faith is the scripture that says God wars from a seated position. Very interesting. Any questions or comments on that? And again, you can apply that to so many parts of church life. Now, before any questions or comments, I have a comment on that. It doesn't mean that we try and walk in a flat line, like flatliners. You know, and like I will talk differently than you. I will pray differently than you, and you'll pray differently than me. And our personality will come out, and there's nothing wrong with our personalities. We were talking about this on Sunday, right? There's nothing, or Monday, but there's nothing wrong. And so I'm not trying to say that a little bit of an excited prayer isn't a good thing. It is, as long as you're not relying on that. Oh, maybe the enemy didn't come out because I wasn't excited enough, or because I wasn't loud enough. I got to get loud. Ah, no, it's not about that. But also, I don't want you to think, okay, I've got to flatline this now. I've just got to be calm. And even though I have a more boisterous personality, I've got to be calm. No, just be yourself. Allow the Spirit of God to be in you like he wants to be in you. You know, some instruments are louder than others, and that's okay. But as long as it's not, like I know for a person like myself, I have to be careful because, yeah, I am a little bit more charismatic. And I don't mean like, well, yes, I'm charismatic theologically as well, but I mean in my personality. I got charisma a little bit, I think. Do I?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure.
You can call it.
Yeah? I don't know what Larry would call it, but, you know, I got some of that. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You should see how I pray, me and God, even this morning I was praying, just like, man, if there'd be a video camera in here, it would be pretty funny. Because, yeah, Jesse got that for me, too. I love listening to him pray sometimes. And I just hear him upstairs in his room praying. It's like, oh, yeah, I totally get that. That's the way I pray. And it's loud, and it's dramatic, and it's... probably hands are waving and all this kind of stuff. Because that's what I do. And that's okay. As long as I don't think that's why I'm going to be heard. Because if I think that's going to impress God or that's going to impress the enemy, then no. It's our heart. But I can still be me. And you can still be you. And if you're quiet and it's just like, in the name of Jesus, get out. That's powerful. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Good. Any questions or comments on that?
It is possible to pray that it's cast out and it's not cast out.
Absolutely.
And some people who are praying for the person will give up
prematurely.
But sometimes the other person isn't willing, or
isn't that it's just not out of place.
It's just not ready to be released.
Yeah.
Do you think that then, like, so that doesn't happen, but like So if you are doing it correctly, like according to the Spirit of God, and yeah, like maybe it's something very strong, but it's still been effective, right? Like
yeah.
it can still like break loose down, loosen, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when Randy was praying for me. This is years ago when the arm went out, and he prayed for me, and so I just asked him honestly. So was I set free from anything? I don't know. Like I'm new at this. Like you know, and he said there were some things that left. He had that discernment, but not everything. But there were some things. And so yeah, praise God, and it will bear itself in the fruit. Like it will bear itself out in the fruit. So.
Yeah, I'll share something. I've shared this other times, but there's a girl that comes and she's a selective mute. So I've had a chance to talk with the parents and this child, and like we've actually prayed, and because I believe that it's demonic, mm-hmm. and they've actually gone to a conference and there's actually been within this child manifestations where like we can't even have a lesson because something rises up and it's not going to be happening. So like a few weeks ago, I had made a pie for this girl and her birthday and stuff. So that was nice. But the mom then, and I said to the girl actually at the lesson, I said, because I was asking her questions, and I said, don't you want to talk sometimes? Yeah. You know? And I said, you can have the freedom to talk to me whenever you're ready. And I said something about I would be praying again or whatever. But the thing that just flew me, I guess, is that the mom just said that I guess they had a question thing at school or something, and like, who's your favorite teacher? Who did she say? And right away, it wasn't like, oh, because it's me. I'm thinking, she's seeing Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what she's responding to. I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
She is drawing like that presence of God, you know, in this house, yeah, coming for me, yay, you know, but it's like, oh, so good,
yeah.
You know, and I just think, wow, yeah, so that thing is still there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm thinking, it's getting
yep.
weaker, one day, it's going to be done, you
yeah.
know.
And that's where, too, even like parts of deliverance where, like before the person comes, like, Lord, I pray, and again, Lord, I don't know how this all works, but I pray your angels here, and I, in the name of Jesus, I command that anything from the enemy is silent while they're here, and is not allowed to manifest. I rebuke the enemy, and I bind its hands, bind its feet in this house. It's almost like in this house, you're not allowed to talk. Now, yes, you can come in. Yeah, I know it's ironic here. You're not allowed to manifest,
which will result in talking.
Yeah, which hopefully will result in talking exactly. But it's this place of this is our house, this is our place. Lord, may this be a safe place, and give us the prayers to pray. And I bind the enemy back in the name of Jesus. It reminds me of the one gentleman down in Hope, and when he first started coming to Hope. He would sleep through the service. But it's because Randy found out later that this is the only place I can come where the voices stop. As soon as I leave, the voices start again. But in here they stop and I can actually have peace. I have peace and I can rest. And so it's, Lord, may our place, may our homes, may our church... May our gatherings be safe places and places that are protected, and we come against the enemy and we storm the gates of the enemy and we bring peace, and we want to see people set free.
Yeah, that's the thing, eh? You just think, oh, it is too much.
Yep. All right, we will leave it there for now. I don't want to start the next section, but we'll talk about ministering deliverance. So what does that look like to minister deliverance over people? We'll talk about that next time. Oh, yeah. And actually, yeah, on page 116, we don't do page 116. Because 116 on to the end, we've already done, actually. It's doubled up. So then we move on to number 3. Yeah.
Why is it doubled up?
We already did it on page 33 in volume 1. 116. If you look at page 33 in volume 1, it's the exact same.
So is it in here because we should do it?
I don't know.
Oh, I think it's the
happy.